For 3 years, I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil? I don't know about you, but I have sympathy for the fig tree. Because who in the world feels like they are bearing fruit right now? It's not just you. Things feel worse right now, and it's probably because they are worse. How many people do you know who have gotten COVID in the last 2 weeks or been sick otherwise? You may have been that person. 300-400 cases a day in Whitfield County, that gets dispiriting after a while. If you watch the news, you know we're in the midst of a violent crime spike. For people, that is the biggest concern around the country. There have been all kinds of attendant effects on behavior due to chronic stress and pandemic fatigue, short of violence, road rage incidents in school, behavioral incidents, chronically stressed institutions that make for unpleasant experiences. That's not to mention the effects of the past couple of weeks, or really the past couple of years, on children and youth, especially having to do with mental health. Significant portions of our children's lives have been spent negotiating masks and learning more about germ theory than any 5-year-old should know. So it's unsurprising that children are upset or manifesting mental health disorders among youth too. Churches aren't faring much better. The average church is missing a third of its membership over the last 2 years, and if you look around the room, you can see that might be about right. There's still apocalyptic rhetoric about the nation's political future. Russia poised to invade Ukraine. I read an article the other day about the catastrophic effects of melting Arctic permafrost. We truly live in an age of wonders. Last week I mentioned a comet, so I thought I had to fill in the rest. It's been a while since I mentioned a litany of catastrophes, but I think it's helpful to hear sometime. I understand there are reasons why you might be stressed. And maybe you, in your own life, have your reasons too. Job stresses, marriage stresses, relationships, tense friendships or conflicts with neighbors. There's the regular catalog of illnesses of cancer and COVID, all of which can hit too close to home. So you can come to church thinking that maybe for a minute or two or even an hour you can forget about all of these things. Or maybe cast in light of God's promise, they'll look different. But then it can be doubly discouraging to come to church on a day like this with all that's going on in the world and all that's going on in your life and hear Jesus say in a parable, "See, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree and still I find none. Cut it down." I don't think this has been a banner year or two for most of us. And maybe on another cold day in January you're feeling much the same. You feel tired or less hopeful or even dispirited. You don't need one more thing on your to-do list right now. And Jesus is telling you, bear fruit or else. Maybe we could have skipped this one today. Why is this story here? The simple or mundane answer is that we're in a mishmash section of Luke. Jesus has turned his face toward Jerusalem. We're moving to the climax of the story. It's a few chapters away yet. Luke only has so much time to put together the pieces, all of the sayings and stories he's gathered from other gospels or other communities throughout the ancient world. He's putting it all together, and so the order can seem quite random. So it's strange that following this story about a fig tree, we get a healing episode at the synagogue. Why are these two together? Why all this, after all this, parables about the kingdom of God? We'll start with the fig tree. The fig tree is like a clock counting down in the gospel. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He's getting ready for his death. The immediately preceding passage has warnings set in store for that city, that even though there are problems going on elsewhere in the world, soon enough they'll hit close to home at the center of our faith. God's judgment is coming. Be prepared. So Luke's early readers might have heard this prediction as a prediction about the fall of Jerusalem. The city was destroyed in 70 AD. The center of faith was destroyed. But as we're still in the midst of the gospel, we hear it as a warning about what's going to happen. There's still time to repent, to turn your life around before the judgment comes. Jesus has set his face to Jerusalem. It's almost time. What more does he need to do at this point in the gospel to convince you? But then again, we're only halfway through. You may still be thinking, well, I'm not bearing fruit. It's not time yet. There's still time. So then we get to the next story. And I think that sounds a bit more like us right now. The scene shifts to a synagogue on the Sabbath. Jesus is teaching, but the story isn't about his teaching. We don't hear what he says. At the synagogue, we meet a woman with a spirit that has crippled her for 18 years. So here's one who is not bearing fruit. I'll bet she knows what we feel like, a crippled spirit. We're not even told what the spirit is that's actually crippling her. Maybe it's an 18-year marriage that's gone into a tailspin and there's no way to pull out of it. An 18-year illness that has just not gotten better. An 18-year relationship with a church that no longer satisfies. An 18-year career that has ended in disappointment. We're left to guess what it is. This particular woman is bent over, but it's not just a problem of body, it's a problem of soul. It's a spirit. Maybe that's a bit more how we feel than someone who's bearing fruit. Jesus sees the woman and he calls her over. He says, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And when he had laid hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. Another story, another miracle. Jesus manifests the power of God. This formerly bent over woman can stand up straight. Thanks be to God. If only it were that easy for us. Then we get the response of the synagogue leader. As H.L. Mencken said about Puritanism, it's the haunting fear that someone somewhere may be happy. The synagogue leader seems to show a similar cast of mind. The woman is healed. Thanks be to God. But doesn't Jesus know he's not supposed to do that sort of thing on the Sabbath? And if that sounds familiar, you're right, it is. Jesus has had similar run-ins in the past. Conflicts about just this sort of thing earlier in the gospel. And in fairness to the synagogue leader, it's not really a quibble. Rest on the Sabbath is part of God's ordering of creation. And to violate that is nothing less than violating the will of God, which is why the world is the mess that it is anyway. Of course, God knows it's a mess. That's why he sends Jesus. So that our expectations of the ways our lives have to be or our faith has to be doesn't shut us off from the astounding grace of God that meets us on worship on the Lord's Day in another pandemic year and a cold January. So you may feel like you have a spirit that has crippled you, that your life is not bearing fruit, that you have so much to do and you're hardly getting by, hardly keeping your head above water. And maybe that's why you can't feel excited for church just at this moment. Or why in the world is there that committee meeting today? Or why does that appointment have to be this week? Or why won't my children talk to me? Why won't my boss get off my back? Why am I bent down with worry, trying to do more, when the only thing that God cares about in Jesus Christ is whether or not you will be healed? Because there is nothing else you have to do to be worthy, No more work you need to do at your job. No more obligation you need to meet as a partner or parent. No additional committee you need to serve on. No religiously oriented task you need to do. No objective measure of money or success. You do not need to do anything else to bear fruit. You will bear fruit. You are bearing fruit because the God who made you wants nothing less than your healing and salvation, no matter what other things you think you have to be doing right now. And if you don't believe it, consider what comes next. What is the kingdom of God like, and to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. Mustard seed is pretty small. It's an insignificant seeming thing. You wouldn't think much of it if you were to plant it in a garden. You might not have much hope for it coming up at all. Jesus continues, "To what should I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened." And you wouldn't think much of the grains of yeast it takes to leaven a loaf of bread. We may see ourselves now as stuck or dried out, languishing or not bearing much fruit. Jesus sees something more. As the small way of salvation that appears in ordinary places on the Lord's Day, today, in your life, even if it feels like sometimes you are wasting the soil. Some months ago, on my trip to Israel, I had the chance to visit the shepherd's field in Bethlehem. It's one of the possible settings for where the shepherds might have heard the good news of Jesus coming. And it's a guess, like most of those sites are. But above this particular shepherd's field, there's a cave. It's not much of a shelter, it's not very large, but it's large enough for a small gathering of people, few animals, and a sleeping child in a manger. Is that where Jesus was born? So no one knows. But I remember there was a flowering bush on top of the hill over where the cave was. It looked like goldenrod until our guide took a flower and crushed it in his hand and showed us mustard seeds, planted where God planted our salvation. Planted disciples, which were just enough to spread good news, planted churches and peoples, planted us, planted who knows how many seeds in your life. So no matter how you are feeling today, right now, know that God has planted you too. You may not feel like a thriving fig tree bearing fruit. You may be nervous about the time, nervous about wasting soil, ready to be cut down. You may feel like there is a spirit that is weighing down on you and you can't possibly meet all of the expectations you have for yourself, as if those obligations are going to be the thing that bears the presence of God in your life. You might sometimes ask yourself, is this all there is? Maybe this is not the time of bearing fruit in your life, but the time of planting seeds that will flower much later on. Planted in communities like ours, and in churches like ours, and in lives like ours. And it may only feel like you have faith the size of a mustard seed at this point. Always remember, in God's hands, that's enough. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.